Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International Noonday Bible Study. We are so excited for you being here today, and for those of you online, we give you God praise, honor, and glory. Welcome in the mighty name of Jesus. Greetings. Amen. On behalf of our Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, thank God for all of us, amen, had a mind to get into his word and study, thus saith the Lord. We thank God for another day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Hallelujah. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praises shall continually be in my mouth. My soul would make a boast thereof, and the humble would hear about it, and they will get glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together, because truly God is good, and he is worthy to be praised. Amen. Mighty is our God, and great in our hearts and minds. We thank God for you, and especially you. Amen. We are in the book of Romans, the fourth chapter, and we thank God, amen, for what he's going to tell us today, what he's going to show us, amen, in his word today, how good he is to us and how gracious he is to us. If we just realize how good God is, we won't be complaining about anything. Hallelujah. If we just realize how good God is, amen, we would have joy in our soul and peace in our heart. Amen. So before we get started, we're going to open with prayer, amen, with Pastor Ann Butterfield, and then we'll have a little short song, and then we're going to get into the word of God.
Amen.
Come on and
amen.
Clap your hands for
Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We bless you, God, and we
thank
glorify
you, Lord.
You, Lord God. We magnify
thank
your name,
you, Lord.
Lord God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the great I am. You're the Prince of Peace. You're the great deliverer, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, that you are Jehovah Jireh, Lord God. You are our provider, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you are Jehovah, our banner, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we praise your holy name, Lord God. Thank you for your peace. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for your anointing, God, falling fresh on us, God, that we may be able to do your will and your way, Lord. We pray, Lord God, that you put your spirit in us, a clean heart, renew the right spirit in us, as we go forward in you, Lord. Forgive us for sinning against you in many ways, in the form of fashion, Lord. Let us walk pure before you in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you for this day of prayer, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you for the anointing, God, that breaks every yoke, God, and destroy every yoke that needs to be destroyed, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
And we thank you, Father, for this word that is going to go forth in the name of Jesus on today, Lord, that you're going to give us clarity of the word today, Lord God. You are going to clear up some things that we may have been thinking about, pondering over, Lord God. You are going to clear them up for us today. We pray, Lord God, that you're blessed to teach a man. You're blessed to all of us that have been here, Lord God, as we move forward in you, Lord God. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is good and greatly to be praised. Amen. Hallelujah. And God loves us, and we can tell it by what he does for us. Hallelujah. This song says, "Glory to Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise." We're going to raise up for a few minutes.
I raise a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna see in the middle of the storm. Louder.
Hallelujah, we have just raised a hallelujah. And we our praise will drown out doubt and fear. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And all you got to do is say, as doubt comes, you just raise your hallelujah above everything that's trying to get you, amen, down and out. So we thank God for his mercy and his grace. Oh, my goodness, man, this lesson is awesome today. Hallelujah. We see where Paul is trying to straighten out these Christians at the church in Rome and telling them about the difference between grace and work, the law. And so Paul began to use two of the Old Testament characters to demonstrate you can't have one without the other. And we talked about last week, we talked about how that the law was just a schoolmaster that brought us to grace. So you can't do without the schoolmaster, because that's the only way you got to grace. And so that's why Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. He came to fulfill it. And so he began to say, though, how this Abraham that you guys, that we're talking about, our father Abraham, and he's somebody said to Jesus, are you greater than our father Abraham? And Jesus had to say, before Abraham was, I am. And so he had to straighten him out by that. But Paul is using something that's familiar with them, as far as who Abraham was. But he began to say, if we really realize that Abraham used faith because the law didn't exist. So Abraham's faith was what got him become righteous with God. Because like we said last week, we know he was among idol worshipers. That's what he was. He was an idol worshiper. And so he know nothing about God. But God came and spoke to him, and he believed. When we heard about Jesus, we heard about all this stuff, our grandmama told us, our mama told us, our daddy, whatever. But until we had an experience with him, when he called us, is when we realized, and our faith is what got us to God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so I began to think about how people would say that I'd rather have cash than have faith. And because they want, you know, if I can get $1 million, I'll be good. If I get $2 million, I'd be just fine. But the thing about it is, if you look at it, one of them, if you need something, give it away. If you have cash and you need something, you got to get rid of the cash, right? If you have favor and grace, you can have cash. But if you use your favor, you can get what you want and still have your cash. And so sometimes people would say, like I knew when I was growing up, my older brother who's here now, brought him here and started with us at a facility. But he used to, when I asked him for money, now my sister asked for money, they just give it to him. I go ask him for money, guess what he does? He got a dump truck of soil, put it in his yard, and say, spread it around the yard. Now, so the money I got from him, it wasn't a gift. I earned it. My sister, on the other hand, she had a gift. She had to do nothing. So the law makes you work for it. Grace gives it to you. It ain't how much you have in your pocket that you're gonna get grace. And so I began to think about how that my brother thought that because I was a man, I gotta earn my money. Ain't gonna let no man just sit down and just give him some money. They ain't gonna do that. You know what I'm saying? But God had the law to get us so we can practice on putting out in order to achieve something. Okay? Because even though you have faith, you still got to do something. Faith without work is dead, right? And so sometimes we think that there's one without the other. You have to be a combination. And so Paul is just stressing to them that Abraham, who is the father of faith, didn't get it by who he was, didn't get it by where he was, because he was undone. He was a wretch just like all of us. There was no such thing as Israel. Elder, he said, I brought it out clear last week, there was no law, there was nothing that Abraham would go to as a reference when he heard the word of God from God. Before the Ten Commandments was written, he met God and believed God. Now, you know, we can meet him and not believe him. And so he was able to believe God. And so Paul began to say how these two characters he's going to use just to demonstrate to us that we got to trust God. We got to believe God. We have to have faith in God. It's not the work you do that's going to get you into God. It's your faith. And the currency of the kingdom is faith. A little lady who came and touched his garment, he said that faith has made you whole. He didn't even lay hands on her. But her faith. Now, there was nothing, again, just like Abraham, there was no written agenda to say, if you touch, if you touch him, you're going to be healed. No. In her spirit, her spirit told her through faith that if you do this, you shall be healed. She just put it in her own mind, hey, if I can just touch. So her works, her money couldn't get what she needed. She tried. And the Bible says she got worse.
Yeah.
Instead of getting better. So, but her faith now was able to get her what she needs, but nobody had it written say, this, if you do this, you're going to get this. Faith comes from something that God's put in you. Man, you can't explain it. Abraham couldn't explain who God. Nobody knew who the true and living God in Abraham's family. All they know was I worship what they did, right? And so, but because of the when God chooses you, His voice. Oh my God! When you hear it, you don't even understand why you're moving in that way, but there's just something resonates with you, and you move on it without thinking about it, without we talked about Noah. It's gonna rain. Yeah. Okay. Let's see that happen.
When she did touch to him and his garment, no doubt there was people saying, "You stupid! What in the world are you talking about?" You know, that's how people cause our faith to waver.
Oh yeah.
And that's why it's so important when the Lord tells us stuff. Sometimes we don't need to reveal it.
But not,
you know, keep it to yourself and go on and do what you need to do if you want to bless me.
That's right. I don't know if Abraham consulted with his daddy when he left. And no record said he packed his stuff up. And first day life, he was gone. And so we got to be careful when God moved on us to do something. Because most of the time, it's not going to be logical. It's not going to make sense. It's not going to make natural sense to you.
I know that's right.
I mean, you're living good. Why are you going to leave home? And I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I'm going to do all this stuff for you. I'm going to make it rain. It never rained before. And you preaching for 120 years.
Yep.
And not a drop of rain yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, after, you know, when God first tell you it, day one, you all gang, you ready to go, boy. You preaching hard, boy. It's going to rain. The weekend passed by. Ain't nothing happened yet. But he preached for 120 years. It's going to rain. And for God to put in his head that you're going to build a boat and you're going to take every animal 2x2 and you're going to take them on board. Yeah, right. You know, he'll tell you things, but because of the faith that's in you, it reached to it. And it got to be faith. It can't be your natural kind of mind. And so you can't be your natural mind telling you to do something like that. It ain't going to make no sense. And so when you get justified, when you get saved, and all you got to do is believe, you ain't got to take no bullocks, slice them up, put them on the altar, and let the priest, you can't even do it, let the priest go pray over and all that stuff. You ain't got to do none of that. All you got to do is believe. Seems too easy, don't it? All you got to do is believe. Now, the thing is about it is belief don't come by just thinking it. Belief don't come by, it happens in your spirit. It ain't going to happen in your soul. It ain't going to happen in your body. But your spirit, because that's the part that comes from God. And anything that comes from God can relate to God. Because when we look for completeness in drugs and women and all these other stuff, it's because we realize there's something missing. There's something missing in us. And we're longing to get that satisfaction through all this carnal stuff. But when we find Jesus, that complete satisfaction is there. Got what I found, what I've been looking for. And so faith is that way. It's something that's on the inside of you.
Because believing is not going to come by the way. You're going to go through some things in order to get to where you need to be. Because, see, God is not going to jump and do it when I think he needs to do it. I'm going to walk this road until I get to that point that he got set for me. And just help to increase my faith and build my faith.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And something I really just really sound me because Abraham practiced releasing a son before he was releasing Isaac.
Mm-hmm.
He had to send away Ishmael. He had to give him up. That's his son. That's his firstborn. But he had to give him up. So because he already done it, when God said sacrifice his boy, he already had some practice. So when God tells you to do something, he already got your spirit ready for it. They won't just give you something that he know your spirit ain't going to do it, but he'll get us together. And when I heard about that was profound to me.
Oh, okay.
that he gave up Ishmael, and so giving up Isaac to God was just another step of okay. I got rid of Ishmael, and he got blessed. So let me do the same thing. But again, it's faith. Because even though that boy is gone, he still can doubt, but he believes God. So no matter what, we got to trust God. We got to trust God even it doesn't matter how it looks. If we realize who God really is, last week we sung the song Promise Keeper, right?
Mm-hmm.
He is a promise keeper. And he promised that he will take care of us. He promised that no matter what we need, he'll be the supply our every need.
Mm-hmm.
According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So when your meal barrel gets low,
mm-hmm.
you ain't no time to doubt him now. It's time to really
right.
really tighten it in and say, hey, God,
mm-hmm.
you said now. I'm waiting on you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, I've been there many times. Hallelujah. Well, I have to say, God, you said now.
Right.
You'll never leave me nor forsake. You say you'll supply my every need according to not Bill Gates, according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You better come on now. And I declare to you, God has never let me win without. When I didn't have two nickels to rub against each other, I was able to eat. Had a place to stay, had clothes on my back. He made a way. He made a way. But and as he continued to make ways, then you build your faith. It increased your faith. So when something comes up again, now you know, hey, he did it before. I know he's gonna do it again. He's gonna do it again. So we gotta know that God, whatever he says, he can back it up. He ain't gonna make no. He, God ain't joking. He ain't playing no joke on you. If he's saying that he's gonna take care of you, because you know in the Psalm in Psalms 23, the part that says for your name's sake. And so it ain't about me. It's backed by God. And when he couldn't swear by nobody else. He swear by himself. And so if he backs it up, how can we lose? If it's back, you know, our money used to be backed by gold, right? I don't think it's backed by that no more. I think China owns it. but back then, it was backed by something that somebody can stand on, somebody, you know, can put forth. But now, so God is more, even more valuable than that. Where if he says it, through the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof.
Mm-hmm.
Everything belongs to him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Paul is just using now these Old Testament characters to show us, to demonstrate to us that you have to have faith and you don't work for it, but you got to work. You have to have faith with work.
Mm-hmm.
You don't work for justification. Working ain't going to get you through it. You got to trust God for it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to trust God that the mistake I made last night, Jesus already paid the price for that. The mistake I made last month is covered under the blood. And so much and so that God said, he put it in the sea. But he don't even want to remember our sin no more. Oh, my, that's a good God. Because you know somebody had done you wrong. Every time you see that joker, you be like, oh. It takes you a while to get over that, man. You know? But God said, listen, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to just throw it in the sea of forgetfulness. You're talking about grace. You're talking about grace. And we know we mess up on a regular. So much and so that he devised a plan that every morning, do mercy every day, because he know we done messed up. We're going to mess up for a long time. But grace gives us mercy again and again and again. And the reason why God does that is because he told us, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yeah.
So he's showing us, I'm not going to let the sun go down on my wrath either. I have a right to be mad at you. I have a right to punish you. You deserve my punishment. But instead of having that against you, I ain't going to let the sun go down on this wrath. First thing in the morning, I'm going to give you new mercy. Woo! And how about us? We done wronged somebody, and somebody done wronged us, and boy, we can't forgive them for this. You're still thinking about it. Hey, remember when they did that 5 years ago? Remember when they did that? Just like that, there was a story of somebody owed this person some money, and the person forgave them. And then somebody owed him. Man, he put him in jail and everyone. But when we think about the goodness of Jesus, it's just his grace. We are no better than anybody else. It was the grace of God that chose you. Before the foundation of the world, he chose you. I'm so glad he chose me. Out of billions and trillions and zillions of people decided to choose me. And ain't nothing I did, nothing I could have done to be selected by God. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That deserves a praise right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So Paul is saying, now, we gonna be going grace versus what works. Which one you want? Do you want to have to work for it? Because you can't. All the work you do will not come. It's not going to be equal. Do you want grace? That's a gift. Like what my sister had. Versus the work I had to do. And that wasn't easy. Because back then, all I had was a shovel. And a whole pile of dirt, soil, on the dump truck that dumped it. So I had to spread it all around. That's a lot of work just to get that $20. But the grace of God, it's been paid for. And just come and get it. It's like when you leave America and go back to the Bahamas, they used to come bring a lot of candy, and they just used to hold it out and you come and get it. You ain't got to pay for it. You just come and get it. That's God is just saying, listen, come and get it. Here it is, come and get it. Come and get it. But you know, there are sometimes kids will say, there's something attached to that. They want something. They'll think that, there ain't nothing free. Ain't nothing free there. But God has a gift for you and for me. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we at verse 6, I believe. Five, six. We ended at verse 4, Paul is saying about how Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him and to him for righteousness. So just his faith made him right. Not what he did, not who he was, And he said, so now to him that worketh is rewarded, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So if you work for something, this is a debt. You know? So if you, but grace is not a debt. It's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So so we got 5 and 6. Do 5 and 6. You're in the front row.
I'm up here in the front row. Always got something to know.
Amen. Hallelujah. I had the, the New American Standard. And it reads verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him, talking about Jesus, who justifies the ungodly, so talking about God, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessings on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from his works. And it's a continuing of the previous verse that talking about is the righteousness being imputed and how God, you know, issued or credited that to Abraham because of his belief. And let me see. It's not the works of the law that justifies, as we're saying it again. It's God's grace. But what it is, it's God's grace. But it's God's grace on your faith that brings justification.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, justification, you know, because that's only a gift from God. Like you said, your works can't do it. You'll never be justified just by works.
Mm-hmm.
But it is his grace, but it's his grace on your faith, because grace can be for a lot of things out there, even in the world, that you do God give you favor and grace to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't impute justification through faith.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 5. And then in verse 6, God grants righteousness apart from your works. Same thing we're saying. And he was trying to, like you say, get those two groups of in the church there to understand this more clearly. And so I wrote a little thing here about, because some people can't, and that's what I'm thinking David, King David was saying, that's not just by the works and justification. So it's just like the saved, the Jews were maybe speaking of the Gentiles and saying because they didn't do the law and didn't do circumcision and didn't do all these things, rituals that were required then, that, you know, they didn't do the works that would cause for justification, and Paul's trying to explain it. So I was just visualizing that someone was in a wheelchair, a paraplegic, and his bones and fingers and hands, everything was, you know, afflicted and crooked, and he's a paraplegic, and he cannot get up out of there and do the work that maybe this other person standing over here can do.
Mm-hmm.
He can't go in the field, you know, but then, like you say, the Spirit of God draws him in his heart, and he begins to believe in God through faith. So just because, you know, he cannot do the work. And so Paul is saying, are you saying just because he cannot get up and do the work so far as keeping, you know, the guidelines and rules like you do, are you saying that his faith, that you know, God has grace and he believes in Jesus? Are you telling me his faith should not be justified, you know, as well as what yours is?
Mm-hmm.
And so he was trying to break it down to make it a little bit clearer to them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So credited the righteousness. This is what David says. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So now he's getting to the part about the to impute or imputation. And it's still going back to Psalms 32 and 2, talks about justification for all sin, for all sin. So now it doesn't matter if you're Jew, Gentile, but that's what he's talking about. And to impute or imputation is to reckon or to lay to their charge. He's given it to them or to be accounted of. And to impute and imputation is only an act of God in the process of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And because Christ bore all, there's the all again, sin on the cross. So it's through that justification that when you are chosen by God, like you were talking about for Abraham and then for others, that because it's only one that has the power of to impart or reckon or lay upon you to imputation through salvation,
mm-hmm.
and that is God, and it is free to all of his children.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Amen.
Okay.
You got to trust God no matter what.
My mother just said it's better to be assed up than to work your way up. Down. Yeah, took that to heart through life. You know, whereas if, you know, you can go and push and work real hard and try to push your way forward. And then all of a sudden they say, well, no, you're not the one we want.
Favor
just is, you know. So, but when they come to you and say, you know, I would like for you to do a certain thing,
mm-hmm.
and you know you're in the pocket, you're in the grace.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, what did you do to deserve being there?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and usually if the God has opened the door of grace for you to be there, and it's meant for me to be there. That's
mm-hmm.
the way I always take the
child.
That made me think of that.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And your faith will give you that favor. Your faith will give you access to anything in the kingdom. You know? And so David is saying that your sins are covered because of your faith. You trust God for your sins are covered.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's imputed now that you are now righteous,
mm-hmm.
but you're not righteous on your own.
Mm-hmm.
It don't make you righteous where you're apart from God.
Right.
Don't get it twisted that now because the words say now you are righteous, don't think that you're righteous apart from God. The only thing makes you righteous is God. if you think you're righteous because of God's grace towards you, and you just think it's on you now, you've been mistaken. Because we are not righteous apart from God. We got to realize that. Without God, we're nothing. We're nothing. We are nothing. And so we got to trust God that he is the one who makes us righteous. And so when we realize that it's God that makes us righteous, so it keeps us humble. Humility would be our portion. If you realize that without God, I am nothing, then you don't have the nerve or the audacity to ever think that you are something when you're nothing. Because you know without God. Oh, my God. I heard somebody say that if it wasn't for God, you would be in a penitentiary right now. No telling where you would have been if it was not for God. And so we can't afford to then think that we done made it. We done got where we are the big, big shot. That because things are going good with us.
Right.
Things look like it's going good. And you know I always think about that duck on top of the water. That joker be looking so smooth on the top. Was he ever looking at the bottom of his leg?
Yes.
That thing kicking like he's kicking like he can barely make it. Boy, he just come in and just kick. His legs are just kicking, but on the top of the water. Just cruising along. but when you're in God's hand, you can cruise along. But you can't ever take it upon yourself that you done made it. That I done did it. No, it is the grace of God. And so David, even though he was anointed by God, it was still God. it wasn't because he was Jesse's son. It wasn't because Samuel anointed him. It was God that sent Samuel to anoint him. So we can never get away from it being God. And so this would allow us to be humble. And if you're humble, God can't help but to bless you. People will bless you. When you're humble, you get favor if you're humble. But when you're haughty and you think you done arrived and looking down on everybody else. Okay. So nobody going to be considering you, but if you are humble, people draw to that. There's something about you. Especially they know you ought to be cutting the fool right now, but you're just holding your peace. You demonstrate the grace of God. And so when we get in circumstances and situations, no matter where it is, we have to make sure that it's not about us. If somebody come at you, it's not about you. But you know, it's hard sometimes to think it ain't about me. you know, I'm going to get my dukes up. Because, hey, but we have to have the attitude of Jesus. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. Because if they knew who they were messing with, they won't do it. If they only knew who I was, who my daddy is, they won't mess with me.
And not and confess.
Amen.
When he messed up.
That's right.
And we have the tendency sometimes we'll mess up. We want to. I want to point the finger at you, you, and you, but not at myself.
That's right.
But he allowed humility to take place, and he went before God. He said, "Lord, it's I and I alone.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one that
mm-hmm.
messed up."
Mm-hmm.
Well, we can do that. Then that's when God can really do stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He said, against thee only have I sinned
yes.
and done this evil in thy sight. And so I'm telling you, humble got to be the way. Got to be the way. You're a king. You're anointed. And you go to God. And then the thing is that David was so much in himself. But when you hear the voice of God, it'll bring you back. But you know, David was going on like nothing happened. And so Nathan said, "Hey, let me get you a little story. This man was everything. This little man had nothing. One little sheep. That man just took the last little man little sheep from him. What should be done to him? Oh, kill him, destroy him." Nathan said, "Thou art the man." But when you hear the voice of God, it gets your spirit, man. And he just told David up. But when Saul then did wrong, in fact, he couldn't wait for the people. He's going to wait for family and the children.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, late, you think it is good.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, this is for a priest, not a king,
mm-hmm.
to do. He, instead of destroying all the God says destroy everything. Everything. But Saul looked at that gold and looked at all that stuff. He said, "Hey, sheep and all that stuff." And he came to Samuel and said, I did what the Lord said.
Yeah.
Samuel said, what is this bleaking in my ear?
Yeah.
But when you're humble and realize it's about God, not about you, you won't try to defend yourself. Because we all come short. We all make mistakes. But the good thing is that every pencil, you got something on the top of it.
He's not going to do it the way that I promised. Yeah. I would not want him to humble me. I would just want to go ahead and do it and get on with it. Because he's going to put the spotlight on me.
And but the thing about when God gets you, he gets you to bring you closer.
Yeah.
He'll embarrass you if you go on, because he gonna warn you in private. Yeah, he gonna warn you in private now. But now you hard headed now. Like, that ain't me. That's Lewis you talking about. that ain't me. I never do that. I never do that. I've seen people being ugly to somebody,
yes,
and the other person being they start being ugly to each other.
Mm.
And the one person said, oh, you're so ugly. And I'm like, both of y'all. Both. But you can't see it.
I go back to opposite
statement,
because
I'm just going to
take a
deep
dive.
Yeah. Yeah.
How can you see it? You know?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit.
Yeah.
So we realize that it is the grace of God. And David was a man who was humble.
Yeah.
Humble to say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, he's the king, right?
Hallelujah.
He's the king.
Yeah.
And everything he asked for, he can get.
Yeah.
Whatever he wants, he can get.
Yeah.
But he said, no, the law is my shepherd. I shall not want. Not because I'm king.
Yeah.
Not because of my position, but because of who God is to me. He is my shepherd. I shall not want. And as a king, I can say, clap my hand and it's there. But he said, no, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. So if we have everything we need, we still got to say the Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can handle my own. No. God, just breathe on that for a minute.
All right,
boy, you don't want God to breathe on stuff and dry that thing up. And so David is saying that my sins are covered. My iniquity is covered.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's covered because of the grace of God. And even though David's sins are covered, Uriah's sin was covered too.
Uh-huh.
The little man who didn't have nothing, sin was covered.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of times we equate blessed by material things.
Uh-huh.
We equate being blessed by what we have. And I always think about that scripture with Lazarus and the rich man. All Lazarus had was some salt. He had no money, no possession. All he had was some salt. But before it was all over, the rich man who had everything wanted what he had. Oh, my God. He wanted what he had. And so it doesn't matter what stage you're in while you're here. You are giving a message to somebody. So Lazarus was a message to the rich man. Every day, he preached on. He ignored the message. So no matter where you are a message to somebody. You are the word of God to somebody. And so when you are with other people, you have to make sure, keep that in mind, I am the word in this person's presence. The only time they're going to see God is through me. They ain't going to never read this Bible. They may never pick up this Bible, but the only time they're going to see it is through me. And so when you realize that they are looking at God through you, they'll change how you respond to people.
Yeah.
They'll change how you behave. Won't it?
Amen. Mm-hmm. I just want to share something with you guys. One day I was in Goodwill, and I was looking at this church, and it says, I am a Christian. So I said to myself, I said, oh, I like that shirt. It's black. The Lord brought it to my attention. Why do you have to wear a shirt that says who you are? Your character should demonstrate exactly who you are.
Yeah.
You don't need to wear nothing to show that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that taught me a very good lesson. I wasn't going to buy it, but I love black. So when I seen that, I'm like, well, you don't need that to demonstrate, because if I wear it, the enemy gonna send all the up against me, and a lot of mess gonna get started.
No.
I may start to act him like Simon Peter,
No, I wasn't.
He got so mad at his brother Custer. So you know, we have to be careful with them shirts.
That's
your
avatar.
Yeah.
You know, we can draw affliction to ourselves sometimes. But no matter where we are, we always have to demonstrate who we are. And it's going to come out.
Mm-hmm.
The folks see it, it's wrong.
Yeah.
The ill tool or the Adam. I guess I need to share this because it came back. I was working on a job, and I had a boss tell me like that, you too nice. I said, what did he say? He said, you too nice. He said, I just believe you get every darn thing away. He said, darn, but yeah, you know. So I just got to look. He said, I ought to fire your DA. I said, really?
Oh.
Oh, yeah. It went that far. And I said, okay. I said, well. I said, you know, that's your prerogative. That's what you feel, you know. And that's like that. Then someone later came back and told him. He says, you know, he said, I try to tell him all the time that I don't care where Lorenzo go, everybody likes. So that's the counter to what he was saying. And I said, you know, Lord, I said, you got this thing.
Mm-hmm.
That made me realize, you know, whatever we do, let your light shine.
Let your light shine. That's it.
You're too nice. That's what I'm saying. You're too nice. Because now you're extending grace to someone. But if you are so grateful, you can't help but to show people grace. You know, if God's been good to you and done for you, you want to extend that. Because you're an extension of God in the earth. The man who's going to get to your bosom, they're in the earth. And I want to be one of them men.
Amen.
Amen. So, oh, my God. Man, it's lost spin. Oh,
gone, man. This hour is gone. You got to stop playing that song. Look. We can't do that song no more. I was just saying. Yeah, we can't.
Yeah, we
got to cut that prayer down and take that song out.
Okay, well, I pray that you've gotten something.
Yeah, man. 12:57. Where we at, man?
Yeah, you went. Yeah. So we started at 9. We started at 9. Okay, so next time, let's study up on the nature of forgiveness. And the blessedness of it.
Nature.
The nature of forgiveness.
The nature of forgiveness.
and the blessedness of it. So we will put that there. We have been redeemed. Jesus that paid remission for our sins.
And that's
as we go through and think about how blessed we are that we have redemption. God reconciled us back to Him. And anytime you put a "we," that means it was existing before.
Mm-hmm.
So we
now Him is own.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's been it. We're going to just get ready to do it often.
Mm-hmm.
Get quicker. We're going to spend more time in this.
Yeah.
We thank God for you and you, and especially you, amen, for those online and those in the building.
Mm-hmm.
We can continue to let this be a day of prayer, that we can continue to pray and ask God to.
God is good.
That's
the first idea that we have to have no assignment, no one assignment. God is good. What he needs to do.
Amen.
Praise God. Thank God for his word. Thank God for you, Pastor Butterfield, and all of you that are online and in here as well. So we thank you. We want to go in and give our tithes and our offerings. You don't want to wait until the night and then not come back tonight. I don't know. So you want to give your tithe and your offering at this time, and we'll credit it toward noonday that you're giving your tithe and your offering. For those of you that are online, you can go on the app and give your offering, and then you just text the amount that you gave to my phone number, which is 770-906-0607. So in-house, if you want to write a check or cash or Square, you can do that at this time.
Mm-hmm. Amen. All hearts and minds are clear. Amen.
Father, we thank you for this time, Lord. We thank you for this offering, Lord. We pray that we hear, Lord, down to the end of that school, press down, shake together, and running over, shall men get into our burden, that we may be able to give again. In Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, dismiss us from this place, but not from your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.